From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I'm your host, Paul Metters. Every Saturday from 10 to 12, we're talking high school sports. High school football, can you guys believe it? It's week eight. Week eight. There's only 3 weeks left in the regular season, and then playoffs are going to start. I feel like we talk about the playoffs even in August, even before the game started. But, gosh, here we are, October 11th, year of our Lord, 2025. How about that weather, too? Gosh, what is it? Let me check on my Steve Jobs-issued iPhone. We're sitting at 65 degrees, high of 76 right now. Beautiful, beautiful weather. We're going to have some rain early next week. But, yeah, it's October. Almost the middle of October. Crazy stuff. So thank you guys for listening. If you're unfamiliar with the show, we're all about high school sports. A little bit of Fresno State talk every once in a while. Might just do a quick mention because, gosh, last night that was one of those nightmare games that you just feel from the beginning. So a little Fresno State talk, but mostly high school talk. And enjoy bringing you guys all the information, bringing in guests. We got three coaches lined up for you guys to listen to, three really good programs. Really enjoy what we do. Last night we were able to broadcast the Sanger and Justin Garza game, a really good football game, one of the best that we've broadcast in a while. And I think I've said that the last 3 weeks because it's true. The last 3 weeks we've had some excellent football games come down to the wire. Last night's game went into overtime. Can't remember us ever broadcasting an overtime football game in high school. We actually weren't even sure of the high school overtime rules. I mean, we should know better, but it was just like college, ball placed to the 25-yard line, flip for it, offense, defense, go for one, go for two, and all that stuff. But Sanger comes out with a great win, 35-28. We're actually going to be hearing from Coach Matt Logue around 10:42-ish. About that win, Apaches improved to 4-3, 2-0 in the CMAC. Justin Garza falls to 5-2 and 1-1 in the CMAC. So we're going to break that game down a little bit more as the show moves along. But First String Sports is where I do my show every Saturday. Walk into the store on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra off to the right-hand side. The Letterman's Jacket Room, you see the neon sign there, and it never fails. I say this every week, just how cool it is to do my show from here. And people are coming in, right? Store opens at 9 o'clock. People come in and get their Letterman's Jacket fitted, put the patches put on. Fresno Christian, Edison, Sanger, Liberty, Madera, Sanger West, Clovis North, Clovis High, Clovis West, all the Clovis schools, a lot of surrounding schools, Fireball. You could do it all. Got a little Fireball mention in a few minutes as well. Really cool thing happened at their new stadium. Lots of fun, lots of stuff to break down. After the break, I'm going to be talking about all the scores. There were 57 games last night in the Central section. We'll be breaking down those games after the break. A little bit more about that overtime game. Sanger was a little bit limited. They lost their dude in the Kingsburg game, Kendall McGrew. Stud running back is actually like a huge part of their offense, led the team in receiving as well. But I want to mention number 11 for Justin Garza. I read about this kid, Coach Joseph Ferris, when he was on the show about a month ago, said how good this kid is. And he was as advertised. Bonus Smith, number 11, big, big kid, good size, dual threat, can really sling the football. Impressed by him. Intermediate passes, threw a nice long ball, had an 81 touchdown yard pass to cut it to one touchdown in the second half. I tell you what, he's a college level player. So keep an eye on this kid, right? He's a senior. 6'2", 205, so the size is there. And like I said, he can really scoot. So keep an eye on that kid. He's really good. Yeah, I mean, back and forth. Justin Garza is down 21-7 at half. Sanger actually scored with 6 seconds left in the half. And Justin Garza just kept chipping away, found himself in a tie. I thought for a second, with 3:07 left is when Justin Garza scored the touchdown to tie. I thought they might go for two. They had trouble stopping Sanger. Sanger, on overtime, scored on 5 of their 6 possessions. I thought they might go for two, kick the extra point. They ended up going to overtime. And then on the final play, it was 4th down, a goal from the 19. Justin Garza completed a pass, and around 2 yards short. They completed the pass around, I think, on the sideline, and it was 2 yards short, pushed out of bounds. And Sanger went. So we'll hear more from that game from Coach Matt Loke. Like I mentioned, after the break, break it down, the games from last night. Go to highschoolratings.com. They have the full list of the games there. There actually are a few games that are missing, so maybe I'll go to Max Preps and check out the scores. Tanvir Singh, who is producing the show back at home base, he was at the Clovis and Clovis North game, won by the Cougars 45-7. So he'll be breaking down that game. I mentioned Coach Logue is coming on. At the top of hour two, a couple really fun guys to talk to. That's Shafter coach Gerald Perucci. He's on the show every year. You know, right? Shafter's quite a ways away. You know, just a few miles from Bakersfield. And Coach Perucci does an amazing job at Shafter. He's got a really good senior class this year. They've had their heart broken in the playoffs the last 2 years. They won the Central Section title with a couple freshmen who are now seniors. Remember, they upset Carruthers. The game was at Carruthers. So Coach Perucci's a great guy, full of personality. He's honest and opinionated. He's got a couple viral videos out there of him just ranting and raving, and now he just kind of laughs about it because they went to the state championship game that season. That they won Valley. So, yeah, Coach Perucci is a great guy. We're going to have a great conversation with him. Their only loss this year is to St. Joseph. So I definitely want to ask him how good St. Joseph is. And around 10:32, got Damon Jenkins, head coach at Kerman High School. They keep winning football games. Defending D3 champs. Beat Madera last year in a really good football game. He's a De La Salle grad. Played at Fresno State. He's the type of coach that when I get done talking with him, I'm ready to run through a wall. He's a motivator, provides structure. Kermit Bender, never let that guy go. He is a stud coach. They beat Reedley last night, 49-14, 6-1 on the season. A couple news and notes before we hit the break and I go over some scores. Big news happened a few days ago. Was it Thursday? It might have been Wednesday. Deacon Rose, a quarterback from Clovis High, who was a pretty hard commit. Might be a sentence full of oxymorons, right? A pretty hard commit to Oregon State. Committed fairly early, fell in love with the school. We had a few conversations about why he chose Oregon State. He's an outdoorsman. He loves the outdoors. He fell in love with the state of Oregon and Oregon State. You know, his dad was a really good football player at Sierra High School. He moved down to Clovis so he could go to Clovis High. He's like, yeah, Oregon State all the way. And, you know, things change this day and age. Coaches change. Teams suddenly become not a very favorable place to go play college sports. Oregon State 0-6 this season. Their coach might not make it last this year. So Deegan announces on social media in the morning, I have decommitted from Oregon State. My recruitment is now open. Okay, here we go. Some SEC schools have been offering. Maybe they're putting together a big package. And heck, that night he tweeted, I am committed to be a Fresno State Bulldog. I'm sure you've heard the story. He's on a couple news stations that night. So flipped to be a Fresno State Bulldog. Tons of support online. We love it when our 3-4 star guys commit to Fresno State. Heck, we love it when our local guys commit as preferred walk-ons. So Deegan looked good. I think he threw his first interception of the season. We'll talk to Tanvir, who was at that game. But, yeah, Deegan, he can make all the throws. His short game, intermediate game is on point, throws a pretty football. He's got good size. He's pretty mobile. So good get for Fresno State. We're all pumped about that. So Deegan Rose committed to Fresno State. I did mention that the Fireball football field has a new name. It's Josh Allen Field. And the news station did a good job last night. I was able to get home around 11:19. And my wife put it on ABC 30 and was able to go back and watch the Friday Night Lights. That's what we call our show. And, yeah, it's a cool deal. Josh Allen's family was there. Josh couldn't be there himself, obviously. Had some signed memorabilia to raffle off. So cool deal. So back in Fireballs now, Josh Allen Field. And he loves his Fireball. Remember a few years ago he wore the Fireball sweatshirt walking into the locker room to play for the Bills. So good stuff there. Good stuff all around the Central Valley. After this break, we're going to be breaking down the scores. Tanvir is going to join me to talk about that Clovis game. Lots of really, really good football games last night. A few upsets, a couple good games on Thursday, a few scores surprised me last night. And I'm going to be breaking that down as best I can. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. I got to thank a few other sponsors besides First String Sports, Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply, located on Sunnyside, south of Herndon. Also want to thank Elite Performance Center, Fresno County Superintendent of Schools, and Raw Farms, who helped sponsor our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. That's a cool deal, man. Talked about that all year this year. Phil Badani, who's my broadcast partner, highlights a student athlete of the week on Thursdays, and they're automatically invited to a really cool banquet at the end of the year. So get those nominations. You could go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. The nominating part's just right there on the website. Or you can text us or you can email us. But it's a really cool deal. Awesome deal. So thanks to Raw Farms for sponsoring that. I mentioned that there were some really, really good football games last night, including ours, Sanger and Justin Garza game. But Thursday, there were a couple games of note. One of the big ones was McLean and Roosevelt. Both teams were 6-0 in the NYL. The game was at McLean. I anticipated a pretty tight football game or one or two touchdown win. But McLean dominated. Following the game on social media, you know, see it's 7-0 McLean, 14-0 McLean. All right, off to a fast start. And all of a sudden, the next time I check, it's a final. It's 42-0, the Highlanders over the Rough Riders. Just a dominating performance. So was able to watch a couple of the highlights, just highlight after highlight, just diving catches from the receivers, just athletic plays. So Coach Pancotti, this is most likely the best team in a long time, maybe ever, in McLean. I remember some wing T teams. People are yelling at me if they remember some of those wing T days. They had really good football teams. But, yeah, this is a good squad. Their quarterback is putting up some crazy numbers. So Max Preps has not updated from the Roosevelt game. But Vernon Lacey, I knew he threw 5 touchdowns on Thursday's game. And so now he's up to 30 touchdowns on the season and 0 interceptions. A 30-0 TD to interception ratio is unbelievable. Fantastic. I mean, McLean's going to go 10-0. No doubt about it, regular season. Now, how far they can advance in the playoffs, that's going to be the big question. Where are they going to land in the playoffs is going to be a big question as well. So congrats to McLean on the big win. Another big win for Dinuba. You know, they got some good wins on the season. Tulare Western, 36-29. Congrats to the Emperors on that one. All right, so let's get into some games from last night. Stick with the C-Mac. How about this? Bullard 42, Madera 33. Great win for the Knights. After only scoring a touchdown last week in their 13-7 loss against Sanger, the Knights come back. What a night for Tyler Franklin, the quarterback. Now, he's been banged up, right? Limited in his mobility. But that dude threw for 4 touchdowns and ran for 2 more. So he's responsible for 6 touchdowns last night. Great, great win for the Knights. Edison and San Joaquin Memorial, that was a 35-10. It's not up here on the site, but I remember it was 35-10. San Joaquin Memorial defeats Edison. And then the game we broadcasted, Sanger 35, Garza 28. East Sequoia League action, Corcoran defeated Orange Cove. Strathmore beat previously 21. So big win for the Spartans. Woodlake was absolutely rolling through the season. Undefeated, averaging well over 45 points. So they are held to 21. So good win for Strathmore in that one. Matt Whitney defeated El Diamante 43-20. Another upset. Porterville defeated Golden West 49-39. Golden West was rolling. I think I said last week Golden West was looking for an undefeated season, most likely. Well, there's Porterville. So no thanks. Yeah. We're gonna put up a 49 spot on Golden West. So that first loss for Golden West. Redwood defeats Wenatchee 5-13 in Mountain action. Royal Grande 56, Longhook 10, St. Joseph 55, Paso 6. We're gonna find out from Coach Perucci. That's on my agenda for coaches for my talk with Coach. How good is St. Joseph? That's Shafter's only loss on the season. I think they're going to be a problem in Division 1A. So St. Joseph defense is solid. Put up Paso. In North Yosemite action, Madera is in the win column with a 22-19 victory over Fresno High. Sanger West over Torres, 24-7. Wow, what's happened to Torres? They've really, really fallen the last couple of years. Southwest Sequoia action, Chowchilla defeated Fowler. That was a comeback win. Chowchilla 34-31. Another game we had our eye on, a battle of 6-0 teams. Liberty Madera defeats Minarets 35-10. Coach Nolte, his team's now 7-0 on this season. South Sequoia action, Shafter 59, Delano 7. The first shot is 15-12. Another upset. Surprise, not surprise. Wasco defeats Kennedy. How about this in regulation? 55-54. 109 points combined in that one. It ends up being a 1-point game. South Yosemite Mount action. East Bay over South 14-13. And Southwest Yosemite River Division. Tier 32, Lydia Bakersfield 20. I figured those teams out. Lost to Clovis North. But, you know, what's up with Liberty? 1-6 on the season? Survived the year? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Liberty was up like 20, if I'm not mistaken. 14. Tier Rally. A big win. Garces defeated Stockdale 48-0. I don't know if Stockdale is going to score a point the rest of the year. Bakersfield just shut out Highland 34-0. A few more before we bring in Veer. Big win for Central Valley Christian. Defeated Kingsburg 21-20. Got within that 1 point. Decided to go for 2. Didn't get it. Cavaliers win the football game. That game is always a battle. CDC's had the upper hand the last few years. Coach Wilson won 2-point conversion. didn't get a great football game there. Kermit defeated Ridley 49-14. Coach Jenkins is going to come on the show at 7:30. Emmanuel defeated Sierra Pacific 56-6. Selma defeated Hanover West 50-0. And Tri-River Athletic Conference, better known as the track. Now, this school, Central East 50, Clovis 20. The score was 50-14 at halftime. Running clock in the fourth quarter. Central East just putting a pounding on Clovis North and Clovis East in their first two games. I do have some stats in this one. Johnny Dipple, excellent. He knows what he's doing. He's a dude. 425 passing yards, 6 touchdowns. Usual suspect in this one. Bayon Harris with 140 yards, 3 touchdown catches. Ethan Morgan had a touchdown pass. Xavier Jones, Pettis Thomas, Brandon Smith did not have a touchdown, but rushed 10 times for 139 yards. Just right, well, two games of track. So Central East with another dominating performance. Let me look at their schedule. So they have Clovis West on Thursday. That game is going to be at La Monica, I believe. Clovis High at home, a game that we're going to broadcast, and then they end with another Thursday game at Veterans. So Central East looking strong in that one. Let me go back to the scores. Clovis 45, Clovis North 7. Let's bring in Ken Beer right now, who is at that game. Has some thoughts on the Cougar offense and defense. They looked pretty strong. Ken, good morning. Thanks for producing the show. Just an overall synopsis of the game, and what were your main takeaways from the Clovis win last night?
Yeah, so I think I saw a lot of great play from both offense and defense from Clovis High. You had the Cougars, who struck early in this game through a lot of good running out of James Caruso. He repeatedly gashed the defense outside the tackles, and he had a really good drive going for them. They scored early. Lucas Smith and Clovis North answered right back after that with a 50-plus yard rushing TD. It was a third down. He really showed his speed there, broke out of the pocket, cut across the linebacker and was able to run along the sideline for a touchdown. But Clovis North did not score after that, which was very surprising, because after that play, I was thinking maybe we can get some rhythm going for the Broncos, and it just looked like Clovis High was not going to allow that. After that, Caruso again had a big touchdown, and early in this game, it was a lot of James Caruso's speed outside the tackles that was really affecting Clovis North. But as we started growing into the game, Deegan Rose and that passing offense for Clovis High really started to cook up at that point. You saw a lot of good defensive adjustments out of Clovis High to stop the running game, because I believe Clovis North's running game is what they need to do to win games against these tougher track teams. And once again, for the second week in a row, the running game was kind of contained on the Clovis North side of things. Two big defensive performances that I want to shout out on Clovis High's side of things. Lolo Clark, the linebacker for Clovis High, he was buzzing around, absolutely dominant in the tackling department. He was flying around the entire game. And then Caden Arsenal, the defensive lineman for Clovis High, another good defensive front seven player for Clovis High. He had two big plays in that first half. One of them was actually a touchdown saver, basically. He got the rush on the outside to pressure Lucas Smith. Lucas Smith had a wide open receiver down the sideline, but he overthrew him because of that pressure. And then he also had a sack later in that first half. And after the first half, it was kind of just cruise control for Clovis High the rest of the way. So pretty good performance by Clovis High. Israel Briggs, I thought, looked really, really good in this game. He was able to get past his defender on multiple occasions. So all-encompassing performance. I didn't really see much negative coming out from Clovis High besides the penalties. I think They were a little bit there was just too many penalties, in my opinion, for Clovis High. One of them, or a couple of them, were just personal fouls, just unnecessary penalties that they don't need to do. So overall, great performance, but if I had to nitpick, that's the one thing.
I'm curious about Israel Briggs, right? A lot of talk about him coming over to Clovis High. Did not play one down for Redwood. What'd you see as far as chemistry with Deegan Rose? It's only his fourth game that he's been able to suit up for different reasons for the Cougars. But how was the connection between those two?
I think the connection is going to be really, really good by the end of the year. I think in this game, you saw Israel Briggs get open. Clovis North was playing, sometimes will play the double safety too high. And Israel Briggs was able to split that with a post draw on multiple occasions, just leaving his defender in the dust. And out of the three times that he did get open, Deegan was able to hit him one time with a 60-yard bomb. And I think that connection is going to be really special by year's end. I think they still need to work out the kinks of understanding how much depth to put on the ball and where to put it. Deegan did throw a touchdown pass to Israel Briggs on a corner route to blow the game open 20-7. And I think that was really key for the Cougars to kind of cruise the rest of the way. But I really do like the connection that they have. I just think that to kind of fine-tune it, it's going to take a little bit.
Really quick, Xavier, did they line him at the up at like a tight end, a slot position on the outside? Where were they mostly lining him up at?
So you see Clovis High does play a lot of two tight end. They play with I forgot the other tight end's name right now, but they do play with two tight ends, and you would see Briggs was the one that was kind of outside in the slot, or he wasn't necessarily
Cyrus Mendez. Yeah,
Cyrus Mendez. Yes,
Cyrus Mendez. Yeah.
So Cyrus Mendez was a lot of the inline tight end. He had a lot of the inline tight end duties, while Briggs was kind of set off, kind of like a wide receiver, like a slot guy. So that's where they kind of play both of them.
All right, last question for you. Great breakdown of the game. Did you, see any more moxie with Deegan Rose? I'm just curious, right? After committing to Fresno State, you feel more eyeballs were on him, or what was kind of the sense that you got about that?
Yeah, the intermediate and the short game for Deegan, I think that it's always been there, and I think you saw it again today. He was hyper-accurate, was able to hit the middle of the park a lot with these crossing routes and dig routes that these receivers had, and I think that was kind of the main thing I was looking for. Yes, the deep passes, he has the arm. He has a cannon for an arm, and he's able to get the ball down the field. It's just necessarily being accurate. Just one or two plays where I felt like he could have been a little bit more accurate, especially to those two Briggs plays that I was talking about earlier. But otherwise, a great performance by him. I think that I didn't necessarily see him affected by the pressure, I guess, of changing his college decision.
All right, good stuff. Hey, thanks for going to that game and providing us information. Good job.
Yep, thank you.
All right, a couple more scores before we hit the break. Clovis West defeated Buchanan 29-7. I think it was 22-7 at halftime. So the Golden Eagles improved to 2-0. And how about this? This is how the track has shaped up after 2 weeks. Three schools are 2-0, and three schools are 0-2. Buchanan's 0-2. Clovis North is 0-2, and Clovis East is 0-2. So the three 2-0 teams, Clovis West, Clovis High, and Central East. So they're going to be beating each other up for the last three games. I mentioned Clovis's last three games. Clovis West is going to be taking on Central on Thursday. That's going to be must-see football. Then end with Clovis North. And then, as always, the final game of the regular season is Clovis West and Clovis, and that game will be at LaMonica. A couple more scores. Hanford with a huge win at Tulare Union, 35-32. Congrats to Coach Cannon Sanchez. I texted him late last night, and he responds like, hey, we had three trick plays, and they all went to perfection. So, hey, three trick plays, whatever it takes, but nice win on the road, defeating Tulare Union. Lemoore defeated Mission Oak 47-16. Bakersfield High defeated Centennial 50-7. And Washington Union defeated Exeter as well. So there is a synopsis of the games from Thursday and last night. A lot of good games. Like I mentioned, a few upsets as well. Hey, we're hitting the home stretch officially. Three more weeks of the regular season before playoffs begin. And we're going to crown champions around Thanksgiving time as well, the day after Thanksgiving. I think the Division One AA game is going to be a week before. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Lots of stuff. Obviously, I wish I could talk more about the games, but we're going to take a break here. We're going to bring on Sanger coach Matt Logue, who defeated Justin Garza last night in overtime. A great game we were able to watch. So we'll break that down with Coach Logue. Next, you're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
In my haste of getting all those scores out, I forgot a big one, a significant one in the Central section. Dos Palos defeated Mendota 36-14 last night. The reason why that's significant is because that is the 700th win in Dos Palos High School history. Only two other schools have won 700 games. That's Bakersfield and Long Beach Poly. So congrats to Dos Palos, 700th win in school history. They're part of the 700 Club. So, I remember those incredible teams with the Davis brothers and just some remarkable athletes. Dave Henderson, right, who had that big home run for the Oakland A's. So, yeah, congrats to Dos Palos. Really good game last night that we were able to broadcast on 1430 ESPN. Phil Benatti and I were there. It's one of our favorite places to call a football game. The sunset is gorgeous just beyond the bleachers on the Sanger side, the field behind us as well. Phenomenal football game won by the Apaches. We got Matt Logue on the line right now, taking the time out to talk to us about that game. The Apaches are now 4-3 on the season and on top of the CMAC by themselves, if you believe it or not, at 2-0. That's how crazy the CMAC is this year. Hey, Matt, thanks for jumping on. I really appreciate it. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, so we were able to chat a little bit last night as you were walking to the locker room. And you mentioned, what, this morning you're checking out some football games. It never stops, right? Where are you at right now?
I'm out here at our middle school watching. The seventh grade just lost a tough one. It was close and then kind of got pulled away. And then there's a big matchup with our eighth grade in Madera. I think it's TJ, Madera's eighth grade. I think both teams are undefeated, so out here checking that out.
Where do they play the games at? On the backside, on the track field?
Yeah, on the backside. It's called Dodson Field. Our legendary track coach who was here forever. That's right there on the backside of Pump Forest.
All right, so what's the future look like for Sanger football? Are there some dudes out there you got your eye on, or are you just checking out numbers?
You know, it's crazy because seventh grade is, with the new high school, it's so frustrating every time we come because it's like, is that one of our kids? Is that a single West kid? Is that our kid? Is that a single West kid? You know, so the seventh grade is split now and the eighth grade is not. So out here at the eighth grade, it's still kind of the same story, trying to figure out which kids are actually going to come to Sanger High and which kids are going to come to Sanger West. It all just depends where they live, you know, so it's kind of frustrating.
Well, with you out there, right, coming off of a big win last night, that says a lot, right? Hey, there's Coach Logue over there. I want to play for Coach Logue. So that's how it should be.
And I no matter what, I don't come to every game, but I try to show my face and, you know, make sure even after Kingsburg, after that tough, probably the toughest loss we've had in a while, came out here after that one too. Just, you know, it don't matter win or lose. You got to come out and, you know, show these guys that, you know, what it's all about. So.
Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about last night's game. You guys go up 21-7. Justin Garza comes back to tie the game. You guys go to over one.
Sorry, you're cutting in now.
Tied for you. Was it scoring late in that second quarter? Was it the touchdown in overtime? Was it that final stop or the sack that we'll talk about a little bit? Like, what play sticks out to you?
Paul, can you hear? Sorry, I lost you for a second there. I heard 21-7 and then kind of the last half of what you said, but I think I missed the main part of your question.
Yeah, so just what play sticks out to you most as the key play? I mean, obviously you're thinking about the last play of the game where, you know, J- Justin Garza has a chance to get a touchdown. But what sticks out to you?
To me, there's a couple of them. You know, the obviously the score right before halftime was huge. So on that drive, I believe we had a third and long where we didn't get it, but there was an inadvertent whistle. So then we got the redo third down, and we completed a pass that kept that drive going, and then being able to, you know, have to use our kind of timeouts and score, you know, with no timeouts and running two plays in a row, and our guys being able to execute, getting up on the ball and doing that. You know, it's, I think, 5 or 6 seconds, whatever it was, left. And then the other huge one to me was, I think it was a miscommunication by them, but, you know, they had the ball when we were tied 28-28, and we went for it on fourth down. And they had a chance to kind of go down and win the game, and I think their quarterback thought it was a go ball or something. He threw it, and then our sophomore quarterback safety, Chinzo Calandra, made the pick, which gave us a chance to go to overtime because they were already close to field goal position. And, you know, to me, if we didn't get some sort of turnover down there, we may not even got the chance to go to overtime. So.
Yeah, there was a miscommunication, and you know, all the momentum was on Justin Garza's side, and there was some miscommunication through right to your guy, and you guys were able to take it to overtime. I think for me, the play that stands out is they had first and goal from the 10 in overtime, and I'm pretty sure, Coach, that Justin Garza was going to, you know, if they would score, they would have went for two, so the game would have ended on, you know, a two-point try. But you guys – yeah, you guys decided to blitz your 45. He was all over the field. I was impressed by him. And on third and 10, and you're able to sack Bowden Smith for a 9-yard loss. Like, what went into that decision on blitzing him? Because I didn't see him blitz a lot. Maybe you could shed some light on that. But talk about that play on third down.
Yeah, well, he's just a dude. He's a stud. And we tried blitzing early. We tried rushing three and spying in, and it, like, at one point I was frustrated. I didn't know what to do because he just, no matter what we did, he seemed to have an answer. And at the end there, we kind of, you know, we normally run man-to-man, and I took our free safety and just said, you're going to cover the running back, and the guy that usually covers the running back, so just we had an extra guy on him while bringing pressure and playing man-to-man, and I think that helps us. I mean, the biggest thing was they were down there, and it was first and goal. You know, so they couldn't get another first down. So once we kind of had them in that situation, we have some injuries and we're young, and we were able to kind of tighten down a little bit and not have to worry about guys running by us. So, you know, I think that helped us. And, you know, the kids just made a play when it mattered. You know, this group, we've struggled at times to do things the right way. But, you know, when it came down to it in the biggest moment, they made the plays they needed to make.
And then the final play, 4th and 19, you know, they throw the ball around the 2-yard line. They're tackled. Like, what were you telling your team at that moment on that final play?
Yeah, we called timeout right before to just kind of make sure we were collected and knew what we were doing. Again, on that one, we didn't rush very many, and we, you know, put all the guys on the goal line, and pretty much at that point you just tell them, make them catch in front of you, and, you know, then at that point you're just praying that, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids can make a tackle before a guy can get in the end zone, and our kids were able to execute it and get the job done. So, you know, it was great for us. It wasn't pretty, but, you know, this day and age, a win's a win, so it don't really matter how you get it.
Absolutely. Talking to the Singer coach, Matt Lowe. A couple more questions about that game. And you mentioned the quarterback. You weren't sure what to do, and, you know, coaches that are listening, they've been in that situation. You're like, darned if you do, darned if you don't, talking about blitzing a kid, and then it'll throw over the top and all this stuff. So, like, how good was Bowden Smith last night? I mean, he probably threw the ball 35 to 40 times in that game, and he throws a nice football. How frustrating was it for you just to watch that kid really, you know, come back and tie the game?
I mean, obviously we got a few more games to play, but I told the kid after the game, hey, you already got my vote for all-league quarterback. You know, like, he's phenomenal. I knew on tape he was really, really good, but what he did last night, I don't even know. I'd honestly like to see the stats on how many times they actually even attempted to run a run play to their running back in the second half. They just put the ball in his hands and said, he's the best player on the field, and let's see what you guys can do. And we had trouble stopping him. I mean, we luckily, like I said, I think the one was a miscommunication on their part, and then we got the big stop in overtime. Besides that, I don't think we stopped them at all in the second half. He's so good at running, but he's also good at running and keeping the play alive and still making throws. He can do it all, and we knew that going in. Our whole game plan was, hey, we can't let the quarterback, you know, do his thing and beat us with his legs. And you know, obviously they didn't beat us, but he still beat us with all that stuff. And it's just tough when a guy's that good. I mean, like we said, we're blitzing him and he gets the ball off right before we get to him. We got a free rusher and we come free and we got our arms around him and he breaks a tackle and he runs for a touchdown, or he just gets the ball out so quick that, you know, we're in zone that, you know, so it just, everything he did was on. He played a phenomenal game. You know, obviously I, you know, it's easy to praise him, especially after somehow getting the win, you know, but it always feels better. but he's a phenomenal football player. I have nothing, you know, the kid is an absolute stud. So.
Yeah, and rolling out to his left, he's deadly, right? And you usually don't see that a lot. Yeah, he's a really good player.
That was something on film, too. Like, he just flicks it. It just comes off his hand. There was one, you know, watching film against the long post, same thing. He's rolling out to his left. Could have taken off and scrambled, but finds his receiver. And just, you know, he's really, really good.
I agree. And I think everyone's watching that game last night would agree as well. Let's talk a little bit more about your team. So you lost your main dude in the Kingsburg game, the older McGrew boy. How you guys found a way to win last night? You know, you threw 22 in the ball game. He did a good job. Was it 23? Had a couple really nice plays as well. So how are you guys going to adjust the rest of the year to losing an impact player like that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a devastating loss for us to lose Caden. Money, what we all call Money. You know, he hands down was our best player on both sides of the ball, our most explosive player. You know, it's kind of a committee. Obviously, his brother's really, really good too. Not quite the same speed level. 22, like you said, Miguel Salazar has stepped up huge. A guy that we've always kind of wanted to get the ball and, you know, no knock on him. He's young. He's a sophomore. He just hasn't, you know, it's been a little struggle for him early on to kind of learn all the plays. And, but, you know, we've kind of simplified things. And, you know, he's a guy, even last week, he's the one who, when we were tied 7-7, popped a, like, 80, 90-yard run to get us down there to get that second score. You know, so, and then Elias 23, the other guy you're talking about, made some tough runs. He's one of the most unselfish and, you know, just a typical Fanger Banger type kid that blocks his tail off on every single play and never complains about not getting the ball as much as other guys. And it's just kind of a committee now, you know. And after that Kingsburg game, we just kind of went back to the basics. You know, we kind of got pushed around and got, you know, bullied around. And, you know, we just had to go back to the old school Fanger Banger mentality. And, you know, since then, we've been a lot better at running the ball and doing kind of what we do. And you know, it's going to take everyone to fulfill Caden's, you know, void. And, you know, it's a terrible loss. I feel bad for him because he's a senior and he had one offer and he was having such a great year and, you know, more things may have came in for him, but I don't know now. And you know, but, you know, we all got to keep going and no one's going to feel sorry for us. And you know, just try to keep doing this thing one game at a time. Every game in the league, I feel like everyone's solid this year, and every game I feel like is going to be like that. I mean, the Bowler game was a 7-point game. This was an overtime game. I feel like Edison next week's going to be the same thing, and it's going to happen every week.
Well, Sanger's 2-0. Edison is 0-2. The rest of the schools are 1-1. You guys have Edison, Madera, and then that San Joaquin Memorial game to end the regular season. So final thoughts on just how tough it is in league. You know, and I said on the broadcast a couple times, everyone says the CMAC runs through Sanger until Sanger is knocked off. So how are you feeling about those last three games, and what can we expect from you guys?
Like I just said, I mean, we got a young group, and I just feel like every single week is going to be the same thing where it's, you know, we were up 21-7 last night, and I told our guys at halftime, if we could get a stop and score, go up three scores, you know, I think we can really put this thing away. And credit to, you know, Yosef and Garza, they came right down and scored, and then it was, you know, it was on. And I just, every team I've seen on film and their records and their scores, I just feel like it's going to be the same thing every week. You know, we're not a group that is, you know, got a ton of experience, and, you know, our kids are fighting and they're doing what they need to do to win these games here right now. But, I mean, I'm scared as hell every week to see what's going to happen, you know? So we'll see. This is one of the better Edison teams in the last few years. You know, they played everyone close. I know I think they're 0-7, but like every game has been kind of a close game, and they've had their chances. So, you know, we're just worried about them, and we're worried about the others when we get there. And, you know, but like I said, it's every week's going to be a battle.
Absolutely. Good stuff. We gotta end our segment right now. But Matt, hey, thanks for jumping on. You got some players to watch, some future Sanger Banger Apaches. So I appreciate you. Great win last night. A lot of fun. And enjoy the rest of the weekend, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You too.
All right. Yep, that's Matt Logue. I didn't even get to ask him about scout team offense. He loves to play scout team quarterback, and I'm sure he did it this year as well. So we'll take a break here. We got some more coaches to talk to. We got Gerald Perucci, the head coach at Shafter. Next, you're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Great hour number one of high school football talk here on 1430 ESPN. We got another hour. We're going to be talking with a couple coaches, two of my favorite guys. 11:30, Damon Jenkins, head coach of Kerman's, coming on. And our next guest is, I've actually never met him in person, but we're kindred spirits in a lot of ways. Shafter coach Gerald Perucci joins me to talk about his team and maybe some other stuff that's going on in the world right now. Defeated Delano last night, 59-7. Generals are 6-1 on the season. Just a fantastic down there in Shafter. And I did a little research, Coach. It takes an hour and 35-minute drive from right where I am right now. So one of these days, right, Lord willing, the show continues for more years, we're going to have to maybe find a place in the middle and just kind of set up shop in Kingsburg or somewhere so we can, you know, talk face-to-face. But how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Doing good. A little tired, you know. After game nights, it's always late getting film up and all that stuff. And then we were up early this morning. There was a community food distribution this morning. So I had my boys up at 6:30 this morning to go and give out food till about 10. So a little tired, but, you know, you go and do those type of things, and it's super fulfilling to be a part of the just giving back to the community and stuff. So doing good.
Good, absolutely. I'm curious, what is your normal fall asleep time on game nights? You're like a 2 o'clock kind of guy, 1:30?
It's usually 1:32. Like, I come home after, if it's a away game, it just, you know, bus ride home, get everybody, all the kids out. If the kids running late, you know, I stay until parents pick up, all that stuff. But, like, last night I got home, we would go over to a coach's house after home games and just kind of decompress. And so I got home around 12:30 last night, did film. You know, I start film and then I play video games. So I sit there and play League of Legends and some other games and just kind of just veg for a while. And then once my film's done, I may watch a little bit of it, but I'll get the JV game started and then I go to bed. So, yeah, it's usually around 1:32. I'll get to sleep.
So your wind down time is video games, right? You usually guys get a little more hyped when they're playing video games. It usually kind of gets their heart rate going, but for you it's the opposite.
No, not me. No, that's I had to learn a long time ago that I'll never be good at them, so I might as well just enjoy them. So that's kind of my mindset going in. I'm not a young guy anymore that can sit there and, you know, play these FPSs and stuff. So I stick to the MOBAs. The mass battle arena type games where it's a little slower paced, a little more skill set based, so us old guys can still have a chance.
Well, there you go. Then you watch some film. Then you get up and you serve the community. Good stuff. All right, so let's talk a little bit about last night's game. You have a prolific offense this year. You guys put up 59 points. Just kind of what are some plays that stand out and maybe some players you want to give shout-outs to?
I think the last night you can't talk about our offense without talking about Marion and Easy. There's a reason why he's going to Boise. Super talented kid. I wish I could say that it was coaching, but he just does things that give defenses fits just because of who he is and the talent that he is. And then on the other side of that is if you try to load up the box to stop Marion, you know, Ezekiel does a really good job of, you know, making you pay on our RPOs and just throwing the ball down the field. He's playing with a lot of confidence. I think last night, though, I was really happy. We've had to do a lot of turnover because of injuries with our offensive line. So last night, the Delano runs a very, you know, they stand up and they're moving all over the place. They blitz. They'll take D tackles and move them. They'll slant it over two gaps and bring, you know, crisscross backers and do a lot of exotic stuff blitzing wise. And our offensive line did a really good job of picking up their blitzes and also giving Marion and our other backs just some space to get open and grind out yards or run for big plays. So I think offensively was them, and defensively our defensive line and our outside linebackers, we've been really challenging them. We're young at those spots. And so when you take sophomores or juniors that were JV last year, and all of a sudden you're, you know, there's a big difference between JV football and varsity football, and they're starting to figure it out a little bit. So I thought they did a really good job of taking away a quarterback that likes to scramble a lot from Delano. He makes a lot of stuff happen with his feet, and we were able to hem him in and actually, you know, get after him a little bit in our pass rush. So I think those two positions, I was really happy with the way we're starting to improve. We're not there yet, but we are starting to improve.
So let's talk a little bit more about your quarterback. Kern County's all-time leader in passing TDs. So how many is he up to? I know he passed 100 a couple weeks ago. Is he close to 110 now?
He's at 10. He was at 103, 104 going into last night's game, and I believe he threw four. So, or five, I don't remember. So he's probably at like 108, 109, somewhere around in there.
So what skill set?
He's also Kern County leader in yards as well.
Wow. All right, four-year guy for you. I remember that game against Carruthers, which was an all-timer for you guys. But what stands right? What stands out to you about his game?
I think the thing that I'm most impressed with him is after, you know, he missed three quarters of the season last year when he broke his collarbone, and he actually grew as a student of the game at the time. So, I mean, now he's doing things that I've never had a quarterback be able to do on a consistent basis. He actually calls our protection, you know. So he calls our protection according to what he sees, and he knows where his check downs are or his quick release valves are. If we're going to leave one backer free in a five-man protection or a six-man protection, he sets the protection to where the guy that's going to become free is where he knows he has a guy to throw the ball to. And then also his knowledge in is the kid is unrattled. I mean, he may press sometimes. I think that's I think all good competitive people do that occasionally. But his knowledge in is just he just kind of radiates confidence. We have some really young players still out on the field. You know, he throws to two juniors, a sophomore and a freshman are our receiving core. So his ability to help those guys out and know our offense and know all that stuff answers a lot of questions that, you know, keep my gray hair from getting more gray. he helps that out.
So you mentioned Marion Sloan, Boise State commit. I know he missed some time in his career as well. I think it was at the beginning of this year, right? But, you know, he's a do-everything guy for you. You could line him up in different spots, and he's just so athletic. But, like, when college coaches would talk to you about him or email you or come to a practice or whatever, like, what do they want to know about him, and what do you tell those college coaches about him?
Well, I think the thing that I know what got Boise's attention. Not, I mean, obviously you have all the things that, you know, when you check box things for Division I athletes, and I'm not talking about those five stars. You know, the five stars, the freak athletes, they are who they are. But when you're in your three-star range where Mari is, you know, it's not just being able to play football that gets you looked at. It's all the other things. It's your grades. You know, it's are you in trouble a lot at school? You know, what's your family life like? You get asked that a lot. Hey, are mom and dad together? You know, do you have any drama with mom and dad? What's he like outside of school? Does he do anything other than football? But the kid has a 4.3 GPA. He's never have an issue with any type of discipline. He leads in the classroom. He leads in the weight room. He leads in the locker room. He's playing with a lot more swagger than I have seen him in the last 3 years. So he, you know, I think that's a confidence level, but he doesn't say much. You know, he's very put your nose down and play football. And then he's just a good human being, you know, and I think that's the best thing about it. He's, despite all this other stuff, he doesn't have an ego. He doesn't care. He's going to get his touches, and his talent allows him to do a lot of things. But if he didn't touch the ball once and his team had success, he'd be happy. And so it just speaks to him as a human being. He's just he's a team guy and understands that the team allows him to have success. So he's just a good kid.
Are you calling plays? I don't think I've ever asked you. Are you the offensive coordinator or more of a defensive guy?
No, I'm the OC, yeah.
You're the OC. All right, so are there certain plays that you call? I think coaches have all been in this spot. When you got a dude, you're like, hey, I'm going to call this play, and I'm just going to watch it play out because this is going to be a 63-yard touchdown play. Like, you could just kind of feel it. Is that how you felt with him over the years? Like, okay, I'm setting this up. Okay, this is looking good. It's time to call this play, and you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, our offense is, I mean, I think Easy we played, I think he threw the ball, eight different receivers, including our backs, caught footballs last night. So, you know, when he's able to deal it out, Mari has that. But on the backside of my play call sheet, I have plays specifically that I know are built for him. I mean, you just got under that. That's just kind of like being smart, right? You got a dude, and sometimes it doesn't matter how much you game plan and how much this, that, or other thing. You know, we talk about this with Ezekiel. Sometimes it's just, is your cat better than their cat? And in conventional football knowledge would go, you don't go at that because of X, Y, and Z. But I know my guy is better. In that situation, I'm going to go with the guy, our guy. So, yeah, we have definitely. I don't know very many offensive coordinators that wouldn't have just specific plays where you know your dude's getting the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a fun feeling, right? That's a confident feeling as an offensive coordinator, as a head coach.
That's like he broke a run last night, and guys had angles on him, and I finally saw he because of his injury he wasn't able to lift as much as he's been in the past, so his speed is kind of diminished a little bit, but it's starting to come back as he's been able to get stronger and stronger. And last night was the first night I saw him. Guys had angles, and he beat the angles. I mean, shoot, Boise State, the reason why he came on the radar, they use GPS stuff, and we use it now too, where he's clocked at over 21 miles an hour on a run. So the kid's fast and powerful as well. So he's fun to watch, and I wish I could say that it was all coaching. That's the one bad thing.
Well, I mean, sticking with the video game theme, would he be more Bo Jackson or Barry Sanders on Tecmo Bowl?
You know what? I'm going more Bo Jackson. He doesn't have Barry's – like Barry was good with putting the foot in the ground, and then he'd give you a leg and take it away. Mari he's got his good jump cuts, and he understands that stuff, but he's more apt to put his shoulder down and lower the boom on you than just run around you. So I'm going to go, I think more Bo Jackson would be be better his suit his.
So more game. More power and speed than ankle breaker.
Correct. And he'll. Yeah. I've seen him break ankles, but that's not. This year is the first year where I've seen him just go. When I get to the second level, I'm going to punish the DB, knowing that later in the game I'll be able to break his ankle. He said he does a really good job with that.
I want to dive into
that's like stuff I could never ever do, right? I mean,
I know, watch kids right?
Do
yeah,
that you never could ever do, and that's what's so much fun about watching Easy and Mari and guys we have on the team. I was a lineman, you know, I could block people, but there's no way if I tried to do that now, both my knees would be left behind me as I fell over.
Well,
so
it's well, fun yeah, to watch I mean,
just be super athletic.
Yeah, people would know your name if you're a lineman because of the mistakes you made, not because of the great pancake
yeah.
blocks, right? They're like, oh, that,
yeah, exactly.
Whatever, number 98, screwing up again, right? You never get praised for the good stuff, always for the negative stuff. I'm curious more, Coach, about the league that you guys play in, right? So, I mean, just let yeah. it rip. Between these three teams, right? I mean, the crazy Wasco and Kennedy game last night, what, 55-54. You still got to play those two teams out of your last three games. Just kind of what's the, like, feeling between the three schools? Is it, like, friendly competitiveness? Is it, like, slash-your-throat competitiveness? Like, yeah, how would you describe the differences between those three schools?
Well, you have, you know, Wasco's having a great season this year, and obviously they're our rival. I mean, we have the longest consecutive rivalry in the state of California. I mean, it's a big time rivalry. So, but they're playing good football. Coach has them doing a good job. You know, he's a first year guy, and I think he's turned things around over there pretty successfully, and it's obvious in the way that they're winning. You know, Mario at Kennedy. Milan, that's their head coach. He's, you know, they've always been bullies. I think that's what they kind of pride themselves on. In fact, I think there was a bench clearing, like, kind of like tussle before the game last night between those two teams. So, but it's the way that I think all three teams go about their business that I think is totally different. You know, we're Shafter's 50-50. I mean, we've always prided ourselves on being balanced. And when you have the two guys that we just got done talking about and their supporting cast, it makes it easy to be that way. You know, Kennedy is going to feed Dima Coblin, their fullback. I mean, I think one game he rushed the ball 41 times or 42 times. I mean, in today's football, that's like kind of unheard of, but they grind him. I think he rushed for over 300 yards last night. And then Wasco, you know, they're new. With Coach brought in a kind of a new flair on things, so they still run the double wing, which is very run heavy. But they have a quarterback that can throw the ball a little bit, so they've become, I wouldn't say balanced, but they do give that. So you have Kennedy that is running the run; they run the ball, and then you have us that probably would be considered the more wide open type offense, and then you have Wasco that's kind of in the middle, and all three teams do what they do pretty well. But I wouldn't say there's any love lost between the three teams. I mean, Kennedy and us have been battling since I've been here for a while. And then obviously, like I talked about with the rivalry with Wasco, that, yeah, even though it's a it's a respective rivalry, there's definitely – if either team had the opportunity, they'd hang 80 on each other. So, yeah, I think that's – it's three quality programs.
And you – win or lose, you got to do the firm handshake after the game, right? I mean, you got to stick those mitts out there, right?
Oh yeah, you always walk across and shake hands. I mean, that's just there's been only a few times where it's like, hey, we shouldn't, but
yeah,
and that's the thing though with Mario and Coach Wadle at Wasco. I know I go across there is a mutual respect, and we know we're going to – I know they're going to give me everything, and they know we're going to give them everything. And there's a mutual respect because we know that, you know, that what they do, they're doing well. And so you have to prepare. You know, their kids are going to play hard. You know, they're going to do exactly what it is they're supposed to do. So when you go in and play a Mario team, you know they're going to get after you on defense and freaking slam the ball in between the tackles and get wide with some of their speed. And so it's, yeah, you're getting, you know what you're going to get when you go against them. And I think they know what they get from us, and it's a good football game. And you know, you have to coach well too. It's not just about the athletes. They're going to make adjustments, and that doesn't happen a lot all the time in high school football. Majority of the time, coaches stick with what they have, but against the better teams, you got to be able to make halftime adjustments, in between series adjustments, because you know that's what they're going to do.
I want to talk about playoffs and where you guys think you're sitting and where you think you might end up. But I got to ask you to spend about, I don't know, a minute on this. How good is St. Joseph, right? I mentioned them. We know what their men's athletic programs are doing, right? They're making waves here. But how good are they? That's your only loss on the season.
I'll tell you what, they had two kids become, we didn't even see them on film, and one is their D tackle and one was a defensive end. What makes that team go, in my opinion, is their D and offensive and defensive line. Against us, they were able to rush four and drop seven, and they still got after us. I mean, they have a Division I guy at D tackle that just transferred in from high school in Las Vegas. And he's playing over one of my freshman offensive linemen, and my freshman offensive came off the field like he seriously saw a ghost. That's how like freaked out he was. But those guys so it gives them a lot of freedom. You know, when you could drop your seven, and when you can stop the run and get after a passer with four, man, I mean, there's just, as a DC, it makes life a whole lot easier. So. And offensively, you know, they do a good job of protecting their quarterback. I mean, they do a lot of six and seven man protections, and it allows their receivers to run double moves, sometimes triple moves, you know. And against high school defenders, you know, you get through that first move, and even into the second one against better ones, you get into third, it's, you know, it becomes more difficult. So. Their front four and their offensive line and their backs really, I think, allow their skill players to have a lot of success. But that's if a team can come in and match them up front, I think. I think their quarterback he's very accurate at times. So he throws some errant balls sometimes. I think he's sitting about 50% completion percentage on the year, somewhere around there, a little bit above. So, you know, that's the thing with the Division I teams that we unfortunately couldn't do. We just couldn't match them in the offensive line to even make their skill players have to work hard. So, but they're a complete team. They are a Division I team, and that's probably the thing I would say about them. They play really good offense, they play really good defense, and they play really good special teams. So they're really good, complete team. Coach has them playing all three phases really, really well.
All right, good content. And, you know, speaking of Division I, I'm looking at the base divisions. You guys are base D4. Also, Wasco is. And just for reference, Kennedy is as well. Justin Garza, who we broadcast last night, base D3. All right, so we're getting to that time of season, right? Only three games left in the regular season. Where do you guys think you're going to end up? What do you understand about playoffs this season?
Well, I mean, I think the CIF is kind of making a statement. I don't see very many teams moving down this year, which is great, you know, for so many years. Maybe Division I and one, you know, Division I AA, you might have movement there. But I don't see very many D2 schools moving down to D3 or D3 down. I think everybody's going to either be moved up, but that new, you know, you got to be in the top four kind of makes it special for you to get up there, which, you know, you always feel for those teams, that like Hanford. You know, those great teams that they had, and they get bumped into the Division I level, and they're bounced in the first round, you know, or that team that has a great season and they're the number 16 seed in the division above them, and they get bounced. So I really like what they're doing with the playoffs now. I think the next three games are going to determine where we're at. You know, with playing Kennedy and Wasco, I think we could still drop one of those and still be in D3, but we drop both of those. I think we're playing in D4. That's the only way that we really play D4.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, you look at the base divisions and the teams that are in it. I mean, heck, obviously one's the big dogs, but 2, 3, and 4, those brackets are loaded. You know, McLean, I mean, they might get bumped up, but if they stay in Division Four, they're going to be a problem. You got Emmanuel as well, having a really good season. So lots of really good teams. Yeah, we'll see how that shakes up. You mentioned Wasco and Kennedy you guys have for two of your last three games. All right, we got a couple minutes here with you, Coach. Always great to catch up with Coach Ferrucci. All right, so your daughter, I remember reading about her last year in track and field, shot put, discus, doing a little bit of everything. What, Miss Shafter as well? Like, where does all this talent come from? She's right. I mean, mom, dad, a little bit of mix of both. I mean, you mentioned that you watch game film and play video games, right? So where does all this talent come from?
Well, I mean, she's music. I mean, she's a singer. Like, she sings in our worship band at church, and like, I play drums for our worship band on church.
So, oh, there you go. Okay.
So that, you know, musically, but like, I can't carry a tune. If you walked up and threatened my life and said, you better sing this in tune, I'm no longer going to be around. But my wife too, she's tone deaf. My mom is really, really has a really good singing voice. So maybe that comes from that. I don't know. God bless her with a great voice. But she's just, you know, the athletic ability is a mix between my wife and I think, you know, but she does plays. So she's really big in the theater. So she's like, they're doing a production of Hadestown, coming
Ooh.
Up. And so, so she plays really quick,
Coach. Yeah. My wife and I went back to New York and we saw the live production on Broadway of Hadestown for our 25th anniversary. So there you go. It's a great play.
Oh, it's a great play. So I do tech too. So I do sound, lighting, projection. I'm in charge of all that stuff in our theater. So, she plays Hades' wife. It's not Eurydice. Is it Eurydice? Anyways, she plays her. It's a really fun show. But she gets it kind of from both of us. Thank God she gets more of her the way she discerns things from her wife than me, but from my wife than me. But yeah, she's a joy to be around. She's just a good kid.
That's amazing, amazing. All right, last thing for you, and I can't have a discussion with you without mentioning some TV or movie recommendations. I might go see the new Tron movie tonight. So what do you got? What have you been watching?
Well, because it's football season, I don't get a chance to get out and see very many movies right now, so I'm stuck on TV shows. There's two. Have you seen The Terminalist Dark Wolf or The Terminalist and Period?
Saw season one. Excellent. Yes, excellent season one. I've not seen season two.
Dark Wolf is really, really good. I recommend it. It's actually the prequel to season one.
Okay.
So it explains how everything gets where it is. Really, really good. So, and then have you watched the Dallas Cowboys documentary on Netflix?
No, I haven't yet. That's on the list. Tell me about that.
I'm on episode 3, and it is I can't stand the Dallas Cowboys. But it is great TV. Like it's really, really good. And then I got to go see Tron. I'm with you. I got to go see Tron. That's like my next movie that I'm going to probably go with some buddies to go see.
All right. Just for the visuals, right? Not for the storytelling.
Oh, no. It's visuals. No. Heck yeah. I remember seeing the original one, man. It's like that's good stuff. That's nostalgic, good stuff that I just, you know, love to go watch. I'll probably drag my daughter with me. She's she's my, both my daughters. Like, they're the people I sit down and we watched Clone Wars, we watched Rebels, we watched all the Star Wars and Marvel content together. Her and I even went through Yu-Gi-Oh, the animated series together. So she'll go with me to go see Tron.
Awesome stuff. Hey, we could talk for hours upon hours. Hey, thanks for joining us. You guys are, I know, you,
hey,
you guys
are
having
ball.
A great season. Absolutely. We'll catch up soon. Good luck the rest of the week.
Hey, thank you very much, Paul. Talk to you later.
All right. Absolutely. Coach Gerald Ferrucci of Shafter High. Sorry you guys have to go through that. You want a high school talk, and we're talking about Tron and different stuff. But anyway, that's how we roll sometimes. We're going to take a break. We're going to be talking with Damon Jenkins, the head coach of Kerman. The Lions are at it again. Got a really strong football team. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening. Bottom of hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, and I got one of my favorite guys I love to talk to every year. We're actually going to be broadcasting their game next week at Kingsburg. Kerman at Kingsburg. Damon Jenkins, the head coach, is joining us now. The Lions are 6-1, defeated Reedley last night. They are the defending D3 champs. Coach Jenkins, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good myself. Hello.
Are you guys breaking down film? What are you guys running through this morning?
Right now we're actually breaking down our film from last night. So we got our normal run in, and then we got our lift in, and then now my special team coach is going over special teams right now. So.
All right. So are you running? Or are you lifting with the guys too, or you do that separate? I know you keep yourself in good shape.
I do that separate. I don't want to show these guys up, so I let allow them to make them feel good about themselves. So.
All right. I got you. All right. So what are some things that you remember from last night's game? Obviously, a big win over Reedley. I think the score is 49-14. Like, what was working well? How'd you guys execute last night?
I mean, our offense was clicking. I mean, it starts with our quarterback, Adrian Torres. So with him, I mean, him being a four-year guy for us, it's been a blessing. With him and then having Coach McCoy and my offensive staff, Coach Ramirez, Coach Moses with the O-line, those guys are doing a great job, running back coach, receiver coach. So they got those guys all dialed in on the offense side of the ball. They're clicking right now. So, and that's the, like I told my kids, the back end of the season, that's where we want to be. All right, we want to be hitting on all cylinders. So, yeah.
The game was at Reedley, right?
Yes, sir.
I've heard the atmosphere at Reedley is really, really, really exciting. Like, I think they have a track still. You guys have a track of your field. Just kind of describe the atmosphere at Reedley and all the good stuff that the Reedley Pirates are doing over there too.
Now they're doing some good things over there. Last night was the homecoming night, so there was a lot more people in the stands. Their fans were involved a lot during the game. What Coach is doing over there is amazing job, especially, they're night and day from last year. And that was one of the things that going into this game, I preached to my kids that don't take this school lightly, right? They're 5-1 for a reason. Their quarterback, he's a heck of a player. He gave us fits last night on the defensive end, but we were able to contain him a little bit, but he's a heck of a player. Coach is doing some good job, good things over there. So, but the atmosphere was amazing. It looks like they got brand new field turf. Which was nice. We have, our kids haven't been able to play on something that nice in a while. So, the atmosphere was nice. So it was fun to play in. So I wouldn't mind going back and playing there again.
So you mentioned your dude, and I've gotten to know him and watch him perform on the football field. Adrian Torres, just before last night's game, he had over 1,300 passing yards at all-important TD to touchdown, or TD to interception rate, I should say, was at 18-1. Just describe him the last 3.5 years, coaching him, and what he means to the program and what he brings to the football field.
I mean, just to coach him the last 3 years have been exciting, 3.5 years have been exciting, just to see his growth, right? And then, for him going into his senior year, he embodies what all the great quarterbacks, right? When you talk about leadership, not afraid to call people out, always on time, always doing the extra, right? Whether it's on the field, off the field, being a good citizen on the campus, off campus. So Adrian is one of those guys that to me is, in the 4 years that I've been here, I would say he's probably one of the all-time great Kerman Lion guys. Like when you talk about a team first guy, because that's what we preach here, being a team first guy. So having him at the helm has been a blessing the last, 3.5 years. He's taken the coaching from Coach McCoy. He's taken the leadership from, what he's learned from all the guys over the year. And he's taken what he likes and what he doesn't like, and he's applied it to himself as a leader. So I think having him on the offensive side has been amazing, and it's been a huge blessing for us. So,
And he throws a pretty football too, man. The guy can sling it. Like, is there a, like, how much confidence when you have a kid like that? That's an extension of you guys as a coaching staff, and you know, can call guys out, or the, you know, first guys on the field in the weight room. Like, then when that translates onto the field, like, just talk about, you know, the confidence you guys have in a coaching staff having a, you know, just a solid player like that.
Well, I mean, it brings a tremendous amount of confidence. Just, you know, even with McCoy, be the OC, I think McCoy trusts him a lot. There's things that we allow Adrian to do that we probably won't be able to allow a quarterback to do for a very long time, right? You know, makes his own checks. You know, Coach McCoy allows him to do that because he's trusting that Adrian's seeing something. And because Adrian has seen a lot of different defenses, Adrian knows what to do with that. But just having him again as the leader of our ship has been, you know, a blessing. And it's not just him, you know, we have Xavier, then we also have Von Blunt. Those two have been 3.5 year guys, and just having those three core guys have been amazing. So, but just with Adrian, he's just been, like I said, you know, an awesome person to have around here. Awesome player. You know, he's a good man. Me and him talk all the time. So, just to see the smile on his face every single day, it's been a blessing for me in my staff.
Well, the stats are up on Max Preps. I just checked right now. So add 3 more touchdowns to Adrian's senior year and 278 passing yards as well. Looks like I got a rushing touchdown included from last night. All right, so you mentioned a couple guys, man. That linebacker you got is a pretty special kid too.
Yes. Oh, man, Vaughn. He's
a dude.
Not get enough credit. Right? He does not get enough credit. And it bothers me. I'll be honest with you. It bothers me that a lot of, you know, even college coaches, but just a lot of people in general don't give my kids here at Kerman a lot of credit. Just the way they do things, right? Vaughn is a heck of a ball player. He's been a heck of a ball player since his freshman year up in varsity. We threw him in the fire my first year when we went down there and played Kennedy, and he didn't bat an eye. And he's been, you know, he's been that ever since. You know, he's the heart and soul of our defense. He's the leader. And again, he's the opposite of Adrian. When I, you know, he's on the defense side. He's the guy that's going to call guys out. He's the guy that, you know, putting in the extra work. Right? He's a good citizen, on and off the field. You know, so he does everything that great linebackers do. He reminds me of a Luke Kuechly type, right? So that's who Vaughn reminds me of. We just watched a film a few minutes ago, and where he sniffed out a screenplay, but just to watch him go through the thought process of how to respond to things has been amazing, you know. So, and then him, and then having Xavier too has been a blessing as well. So, yeah.
Who are some more guys you want to shout out? You talk about, like, hey man, we're kind of, even though you're winning championships and you turn that program around and got some star players, you still aren't maybe getting some recognition. So, who are some other cats you want to give shout outs to?
Man, I would love to list my whole roster, to be honest.
No, you got to bring them on the show next time, like you did last year. Just bring them all, man. Five of them.
I will. I'll start off with my big three. You know, Xavier Montavo. You know, Adrian Torres, Von Blunt. You know, we got a little Nate Myers that's stepping up on the offense side of the ball. Our two running backs stepped in when, you know, our starter went down with Kingston, and you know, we got George Antunes at the running back position. Seth Myers is another guy that plays in the middle for us. You know, we got our O-line going. You can't forget those guys, right? Our O-line has been a heart and soul of our team. You know, my O-line and D-line have been a heart and soul of our team, right? With, you know, Logan Castro, Big George in the middle, George Vargas, DC, we got three Georges, so but look, the whole offensive line and the whole D line. So I mean, we just got guys making plays all around. You know, we got a sophomore with Lil Nick. He's been amazing to have. We had him up as a freshman last year, Nick Mendoza. So I mean, we got a lot of guys doing some good things. So,
and I see your number two quarterback is a freshman, and that last name looks familiar. Is Coleman? Is that Coach Coleman's son?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It sure is. It sure is. And he had a heck of a game last night. You know, he's going to be up and coming. So right now we have him splitting time on defense and offense. So, but last night I think he had 2 to 3 sacks, which I was proud to see him respond, because last week he didn't play, you know, such a great game. But for him to come out this week and change the tide and change his mindset was pretty awesome to see.
Well, I remember, Coach, I think it was 3 years ago, I went to your game when CVC came to town with Bryson Donaldson, and I'm just keeping it real here. I looked at your sideline. I'm like, oh, man, they didn't fill out the uniforms, and some of them filled them out a little bit more than they should have, if you know what I mean. But how is the culture and the types of players, right? I mean, how have you transformed the Kerman football program into what it is today, a title contender again?
I mean, really just a lot of offseason work, right? And, you know, it's not just in the weight room or on the field. It's in the classroom, right? Just talking them through things. It's what my experience at De La Salle, right? Having some of my young guys play last year, like, you know, Elijah Chalabian, who we call Moose, having him play as a freshman, and then now he's a sophomore back there at the secondary. Him controlling the secondary and watching him grow as a person. And that's all with offseason work in the classroom, right? Because a lot of this game is all about culture. Right. And I say this all the time. A lot of people like the idea of culture, but not everybody understands what culture means. Right. And culture is probably the biggest part of building a program. And it's tedious, right? Because it's about not letting the little things go, but it's also about letting the kids be kids and create their own culture within the culture. So for me, building a program has been, you know, awesome. It's been a beautiful thing to see because a lot of it has stemmed from my De La Salle background. Right. But to top it all off, though, just with my amazing coaching staff, they help add more value to the culture, not because, you know, X's and O's are great. Like McCoy's great at X's and O's, but it's just the personal relationship that they've built with each player is what makes everything so much special here. All my players know if they need to call my coaches in the middle of the night, they can. And if I'm not available, they know my assistants will be there. And so, that's really what it's been predicated about. It's just the culture of, protecting the culture for us, right? Not letting outside influences come in and mess up what we have going. So,
well, you guys, I mean, it's definitely shown on the football field and off like you're talking about. And last year's championship was the first in school's history, and that was a lot of fun to walk that with you guys as well. I don't think I saw the ring. I think I saw – even a picture of the ring. Like, describe the rings that you guys got from last year.
Oh, man. I mean, they're all diamond out. I'll have to send you a text message, but it's funny because I put my ring up. After we got our rings, I put my ring up, and for me, it's on to the next one, right? What I'll do is when I get off the phone, I'll shoot you a text with a picture of the ring.
All right. Let me check it out. Let me check that out. How many other rings do you have? Like the De La Salle, did you get a ring for every championship you won over there?
Yeah, so with De La Salle, I have 3 national championship rings. And then I believe I got 3 at Fresno State. I got 1 when we won the Valley Championship at Clovis North. And then I have this one with Kerman. So I think I have a total of 6 or 7 rings.
Do the national championship ones just kind of stand out? What are they bigger than the others? What do those even look like?
Well, you got to think about it. 2000, the rings were back then. They were big, right, to us. But when you look at the one that I got from Kerman, you look at the one I got from Kerman and the one from De La Salle. The one from Kerman is bigger. But I think what really stands out for the one at De La Salle, the 3, is just the national championship part, right? You're talking about schools all across the country, and De La Salle was number 1 for however many years we were national champions. So to me, that's what stands out the most for those rings. So,
do the kids ever ask to see those? Do you talk about those days very much to them?
I mean, what I talk about with them I talk about the culture more so than anything. When it talks about De La Salle, I don't think I've ever brought my rings here for them to see, because I've always wanted them to earn their own. But my experience, you know, for De La Salle has not necessarily been about the rings. It's really been about, you know, the lifestyle and how it changed my life, right? So for me, being a high school coach, the only reason I wanted to get into it is because I always wanted to try to give kids the experience that I got at De La Salle. And so for me, that's kind of been my life goal. And that's what I'm doing here. It's not necessarily so much about the rings. That's accomplishment at the end. But it's the things that I accomplished before we get to the rings, right? Building those relationships, the off-season workouts, the team bonding, the late-night phone calls, the, hey, coach, I need to talk to you in my office about some personal stuff. Those are the things to me that matter the most. The ring is just a reflection of that at the end of the season. So,
100%. We got a couple more minutes with Coach Damon Jenkins. Did you have a vision when you took the job at Kerman? Like, hey, year one, I want to do this. Year two, year three, we're going to start seeing some fruits of our labor. Is that kind of how you wanted to go about, you know, building up the program with those young men?
Yes and no. I mean, I've always come in, and my mindset has been the same since I've got here. Is win league, win valley, win state. That's one of the things that when I met with Coach Lattiser and we were talking about it, he's like, if that's not your mindset going in, what's the purpose, right? You're going, and so when I have that in mind, which means I'm going to put in extra work with the kids, right? I'm going to talk about the culture piece. I'm going to build all those things to making it to what it is today. I didn't go in there thinking, all right, hey, year one, we're going to lose, or I'm going to be okay with losing. No, right? Year one, I expected to win, right? And that's one of the beautiful things about working with Coach McCoy is we have the same mindset. We feel we can win with anybody, right? It doesn't matter who it is. And that's always been my mindset, right? I don't always need the 4-2 guy. Would I love to have him? Yes. But what wins to me, what wins a lot of ball games, is the culture and the belief in themselves, right? That's how weathered De La Salle for me, right? We didn't go in there, oh, hey, we need the fastest guys. No, if you go back and look at the Long Beach Poly game. Yeah. Long Beach Poly had 12 D1 athletes that year, and we only had three, right? And so, but we had some athletes, but it was more so we believed in our culture and we believed in what we were doing as a program. And so, and that's, takes precedence over everything else. So for me, it was just about building the culture. That's what I've wanted to instill from day one, is making sure kids understand the culture and how important it is over everything.
Excellent stuff, man. I when I mentioned that you were coming on the show, it's like after every time I talk to Coach Jenkins, I feel like I need to run through a wall myself, man. Put on one of these Letterman's jackets and just hit somebody, right? I just love the energy and spirit that you bring to your program, and it's infectious everywhere. And I appreciate you. I'm going to be texting you a little bit this week because we're going to be broadcasting your game at Kingsburg. So hopefully we'll be able to see you there as well. So have a good weekend, Coach Jenkins. Appreciate you as always.
All right. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
You bet. All right. Good guy right there. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Great show today, man. Thanks for Tanvir for producing it. Thanks to Matt Logue, Gerald Perucci, and Damon Jenkins. Thanks to Sergio, too, here for setting up the video and making me sound a little bit better than I usually do. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.